Hi team, hope you're well. Welcome to another Quick Connect podcast, a chance to keep you in touch with everything that's going on with Team CP and also share some of our awesome people that we work with and coach. Today we're going to talk to Flynn Goodger and we'll introduce him shortly, but a couple of things that have got going on. It feels like it's a massive week here. Post-school holidays, basically booked in all these things that are happening straight after that. So we've got our adventure squad that happens this Sunday, first one for the season, which is pretty awesome. We've got our quiz night, which is our first run at that, which will be heaps of fun, and couple that with our end of season awards. We've got some pretty cool trophies to give out. So hopefully, if you're local to Canterbury and Christchurch, it should be cool to see you get along to the Lighthouse Brewery on Saturday night. Feel free just to rock up. The chippy truck will be out the front, and yeah, it should be a really fun evening. It's always good to get together without lycra and running shoes on, etc. So that's going on. And then actually before that, we're having a bit of a coaches get together. There's going to be a 10-pin bowling competition. So we'll let you know how that goes when we catch up next week. But have been doing some lunges in preparation for that as well. On that award side of things, we've got a heap of prizes from our awesome sponsors. So Giant, Solomon, Tenali Gear, That's It, have come to the party. Pure have helped us out as well. So it's always good to sort of give back to those guys as well. Daylight savings meant our run group kicked off. Lots of vertical meters had by them last night in their first winter run group of the season. And with that May meters, we'll see how many you have got. So May meters, how many vertical meters can you climb during the month of May? Can you do the whole height of Mount Everest, 8,848? If you're a runner, that's a pretty tough gig. Cyclists tend to get it a bit easier because you can downhill. If you've got a bit of Zwifting going on, you can ride hard to the top of the hill and get off and have a shower. So admin-wise is less, but the vertical meters tend to be pretty honest. So be pretty keen to see how good you guys can go. My goal is 10,000 with a bit of Zwifting amongst that as well, but we'll also get some on-feet meters. You don't have to get those sort of big heights. It might be that, hey, I'm going to try and see if I can get 3,500 or whatever the thing might be. But yeah, cool thing to have a bit of a focus. Jump onto our community page and give us some updates about how you're tracking amongst that. Other stuff going on is our bunch riding skills course, first one of those that we're kind of running in this format on Sunday the 26th of May. So if cycling and group riding is something that you want to learn more about, Sunday the 26th of May in the morning, we're going to have a crack at that as well. And our winter group Zwift sessions have kicked off. So Monday morning 6 a.m. we've got our 6 p.m. Wednesday session, and there was heaps of people along this past week in our Friday morning session that we've just done as well. So with a couple of Zwift sessions, I've got 1073 vertical meters. Of those vertical meters, 8 of those were on foot around the park last night. So chipping away, getting a bit done, which is good. But without further ado, we've got Flynn Goodger, who's just got back from an adventure race. Actually, we've been working with Flynn since 2020. Actually, the first year when Coast to Coast wasn't affected by COVID, he did the individual event, and for most people, I guess it's a starting point to get into adventure racing and exploring in the outdoors. So since that first Coast to Coast, he's continued to push that boundaries a fair bit, improving his running, challenging himself to see what he can achieve. He's completed Godzone, had a crack at the Revenant. So that's the Barclays style, marathon style event that's held down in Centro Otago just recently. And he's also joined the Fair Youth Adventure Racing Squad, racing in the Philippines and in America. So he's just fresh off the plane, getting back on his feet. Pretty keen to catch up with Flynn about his latest adventure race, the Expedition Ozark in Kansas in the USA. So Flynn, let's see if you're in the background there, and we'll add you to the chat. How you doing, Flynn?
G'day. Yep, no, good. Thanks for having me, Richard.
That's the story. Hey, that's sounding pretty enthusiastic considering you raced for 90 hours a few weeks back and only had 2 hours sleep. 90 hours, that doesn't sound too light much, but 90 hours is actually 4 days straight. That's a big job.
Yeah, four hours, but yeah, still not a lot.
Not much.
Yeah, the body's feeling a bit better now after a few big sleeps and a couple of weeks off, so yeah.
Yeah, nice. And food as well, I'm sure that's a big part of it. Like, what was the thing that you most enjoyed post-race?
Straight after the race, we sort of got into a wee tent at the finish line, and they fed us till we couldn't really eat anymore, till we fell asleep. So they had pizza, chalky milk, burritos, sort of everything you want after a race. But yeah, just we had a few American, went to a diner, you know, American sort of restaurant stuff. Wasn't too flash, but you know, good fast food after the race.
Yeah, nice. It's probably one of those things, isn't it? Like you're so hungry and you just want to eat, and you do, but then you sort of finish up really quickly. And I feel like I want to keep eating, but I can't.
We did get fed pretty well after the race. The organisers sort of put on a fair bit the day after as well. They had a sort of closing ceremony. So yeah, we were fed very well from the race organisers, which was cool.
Yeah, good job. So before we get into that, I want to get a bit of a deep dive into that, how you got on and how you got there. But let's just take a bit of a step back. So Flynn, you're only 23. Yeah, it feels like you've been doing this gig for a fair while. So how did you get into it at the start? Like we talked about Coast to Coast, this was your first sort of foray into this whole multi-sport thing. Had you done much of adventuring beforehand, or was that the first sort of thing that you did?
No, that would have been the first sort of race, first main race I'd done. I'd played mainly team sports up to that point, rugby in the winter, cricket in the summer. And then I played a year of rugby in Dunedin. At Polytech there, and just didn't really enjoy it as much. So that sort of summer I was always into the running, you know, the training for rugby. But that summer I sort of didn't play cricket, signed up for a couple halves and decided, I think it would have been, I would have been following the Coast to Coast in February and decided, you know, you had to sign up that day. When you get to sign up the same day for it. So I think I decided then I'll take the year off, rugby and give the Coast a crack. So sort of spur of the moment thing. I hadn't done a lot of, you know, outdoor sort of multi-sport stuff up until that point. So it was a bit of a change, but glad I sort of done it.
Yeah, good stuff. That's awesome. So you've been sort of drawn to the longer adventure races, it feels like, over the last couple of years. What do you enjoy most about those?
I'm not too sure. I think maybe just pushing, I sort of like seeing how far you can go. I do enjoy the faster stuff, you know, racing for time, but sort of racing long and seeing how fast you can go, you know, over a few days. And then the adventure racing too sort of gets you back into that team sport as well, which I sort of missed from, you know, the rugby days and the back in the school days. So that team sport's a big part of it, sort of racing with other guys, and that's quite enjoyable. Just seeing how far you can go, pushing yourself for days on end, put a good effort in.
Yeah, that's good. It's nice to have that, the variation, isn't it? This doing stuff with others and figuring it out with a group, but also quite nice to go fast and have a spring in your step and see what you can do as well. So I guess that's something that you have had the opportunity to do some adventure racing, but hey, I'm also like, you run a pretty fast half marathon last year as well and sort of really dialed in your running as well, didn't you?
Yeah, and all the day-to-day training, I guess, is sort of that fast, well, you know, more towards the multi-sport sort of faster stuff. So it's always good to see how fast you can go. And doing those shorter races, yeah, I like going fast. I like going long as well. It's a good mix. It's sort of a good sport to, you know, be able to do all that.
Yeah, nice. So you have, you've been based in Southland, and then just recently you've had a bit of a move. Whereabouts are you and what are you up to at the moment?
So was in Gore for 3 years after uni. And we moved just in February over to Aussie, to the Gold Coast, with my partner and her sister.
Cool.
So big change, whole different environment, but it's been good so far. with your daughter. Nice.
So what do you do for work, Flynn?
Quantity surveyor, so sort of construction pricing, that side of it.
And
moving over, I was able to work from home. That was probably a big part of it. Staying in the same line of work, but being able to work from home, sort of choose my own hours, cut the hours back a bit, and prioritise training a bit more, training and racing around work. So that was a big part of the, coming over as well.
Nice. So how is the training environment? So you're on the Gold Coast. How have you found, I guess, the running and lack of frosty mornings and sort of tough suddenlies to go out running? And how have you found it?
Really good. If you're sort of back before 7 in the morning, it's you don't get too hot and cooked. So it doesn't have the big hills and the big trails like home. There's trails out there, but they're sort of harder to find, not as well maintained. But running on the coast, it's good for probably the faster stuff. It's nice and flat, good beachfront sort of tracks and trails. And the other training too is real good. Road cycling is quite big here. Good, there's a fair few good loops on the coast. Some good hills once you get back inland a bit more, and the paddling as well is in the K1 a bit. So in the flat water stuff, they don't have the rivers over here like we do back home. Probably just from the back of hills, but they have real good flat water paddling. We sort of paddle at the moment. Just out the back door is where the Aussie national team trains every day. Okay. So, you're sort of out paddling, not with them, but alongside them for a little bit before they pass you. But it's quite cool seeing those top elite guys every day as well. It's definitely a good environment.
Yeah, nice. Try and sit on their wash for just a moment before they fly past. Yeah. That's awesome. And that just, if it's easy to do and you're sort of seeing other people train, you learn from them, the environment is you get up early, get it done, et cetera, and it's not so cold. Obviously, you must have seen some improvements in your fitness as a result of that. Would that be fair?
Yeah, definitely. Just being able to probably train a bit more than back home and better quality of training, especially the paddling. Back in Gore, there's the Matera, but you're paddling upstream if you want to paddle by yourself, and it's I couldn't really get out before work, so you go after work, and it's not the best environment. But over here there's lots of people, lots of people to train with, push yourself, and everyone sort of seems to be doing it, which is cool. So if you're in a bike group, you're with lots of proper bike riders. If you're in a running group, you're with runners. And the same with paddling. You're paddling with paddlers that just do that full time. So you're definitely pushing yourself in each discipline.
That's the thing with any multi-sporter. You end up being kind of average at everything, but not actually any good at anything when you start comparing yourself to actual cyclists, actual paddlers, actual runners, actual swimmers, etc. So but also it drives you to keep improving, doesn't it? Keep turning up, and it's not bad to be a little bit frustrated on that one.
Definitely, it's good to they have a lot of good races over here, especially paddling, so it'll be good to do a few marathons or state races, so sort of test yourself against those proper guys that get out and pedal every day.
Nice. So let's just jump into a bit more of the adventure racing that we just mentioned. And actually, I apologize at the same time if you can hear some barring. The pit labs have just got through, so I was right at the door, so sorry about that. But so the Philippines and the USA, you've just raced over the last 6 months or so. Which was tougher and why? And which did you enjoy the most? I'm also interested to hear about as well and why.
They're both enjoyable. I probably enjoyed the recent one in Expedition Ozark a bit more, but I'd say the Philippines was probably a bit tougher, just more the how remote it was in the Philippines and different culture, different food over there, lack of, you don't take much food over, so you're buying all your food in the Philippines. Different environment. It was a lot hotter, humid 24/7. So that was probably definitely climate sort of style that was harder. But then Expedition Ozark had the top teams, so you're racing against elite teams, which, you know, is sort of a good mix of racing, to be fair. Both runs quite different, but good high level races.
Yeah, good stuff. So tell us about the Expedition Ozark. As you mentioned, it did have a stacked field. There's a bunch of teams that are sort of right up there in the pointy end of the field within the world, and you guys were racing them. You weren't sort of out the back and kind of just on the back, their tails. You're in the lead at times, and you were pushing the other teams to see how good they can go, etc. How did you end up within the race?
So we finished up third equal. Alongside Bend Racing, who are an American outfit. But there were some other world-class teams there. Estonia Ace, I think they're sort of top three in the world. Brazil Multisport, another top three, four team. Bend, there was an Ecuadorian team. And another Canadian team and an American team, which there's probably six or seven teams that, you know, realistically, probably could have got a podium. So, yeah, cool to line up against those top teams.
Yeah, good. So, tell us about the start of the race. How did you guys go early on? Like, obviously, it's all pretty busy often at the start of an event like this, as people kind of finding their feet and finding their position. And you guys have got a race early on as well. So, how did you guys go, and how did the team fare?
We had a good start, to be fair. The first two stages of the race were the biggest ones. There was a 100K trek and a 160K bike for the first two stages. So that first stage sort of started with a wee, probably 8 to 10K road gain. And then mainly on a trail for 50, 60Ks. But we started... It was hard and fast start, sort of out the gates, redlining it a bit. You probably shouldn't be, but there was probably five, six teams all hitting the road gain points together. We sort of all had the same route, so we were probably with teams for the first few hours, four or five hours, and then eventually sort of spread out a bit. And I think for the majority of the first stage, that 100K trek, we were sort of sitting second behind Estonia.
Wow, it's a long way.
So, yeah, we passed Brazil about halfway, which was quite cool. And then, yeah, we sat about second, and then Brazil passed us probably a K or two before transition. So, yeah, we're in that top three right off the gun. But we didn't get out too – we weren't, you know, overdoing it, or it was sort of felt – pretty controlled. We didn't blow up. You know, it was sort of like a sustainable sort of pace for us. So
And how did you go nutritionally? Because that's always a bit of a challenge when you are sort of out on your feet.
Not too flash for the first 2 days. I sort of, once we, about 12 hours in, I think we started to get a proper meal in, which was some wraps we had pre-made. So we started putting some wraps down, putting some proper food down, and I started throwing up. And when you're throwing up not just the wrap, but the 12 hours of food and drink you've put in before that. So that was a bit of a nervous sort of time, throwing up all your food that early in the race. It happened, and it sort of carried on like that for 2 days, where I just couldn't get freeze dry meals down, couldn't get wraps or buns down. I could sort of keep the bars and gels in, but anything bigger than that just seemed to come straight back up, which was odd. So for the first 2 days, I was sort of had energy, and you know, didn't slow down much, but was running you know, feeling pretty hungry most of the time. Sort of felt like you're running on an empty stomach.
So how do you go mentally? Because you want to be in a sort of useful place, especially when you've got teammates and other people that you're racing. Mentally, do you sort of take a bit of a hit there to go, oh, God, what am I doing? I just can't do this. Do you ever get into that spiral, or were you okay?
You never want to be that person that, that slows your team down. It's your team sport, but everyone's going to have their moments, but you never want it to be yourself. That's
I guess everyone's going to have their moment, aren't they? That, like, yeah. You're all going to have your down spots at some point.
Yeah, so it wasn't too bad. Everyone was pretty good. We probably stopped for 5 minutes while I was actually throwing up, and but after that, it was, everyone's get food back in, keep going. And we just trucked along, I think. Gave Josh my pack for probably an hour or so, and, to let a bit of load off and get a bit of food in. And, once I realised I'm not sick, I don't have any other symptoms, or, you just can't keep food down, it's, I'm still moving. So, it wasn't too bad mentally. We sort of, solved the problem pretty quick and done what we could and moved on.
Yeah, nice. There was kayaking, obviously mountain biking, and your trekking and Rogaining, all that sort of stuff. How did the paddling go? Tell us a little bit more about that. Was it rough? Was it on rivers? What sort of paddling were you doing?
There's three paddles throughout the race, two big ones, two sort of 9-10 hour stages, and the rivers aren't huge rivers. They're decent sort of probably grade one, two rivers. But the way it sort of worked out was we hit both the big pedal stages at night. So you're paddling the rivers in the dark, which was quite exciting because back home, or back in, New Zealand races, they sort of dark zone you for especially river paddling, not so much lake paddling, but so being able to paddle rivers in the dark was quite cool. You can hear the rapids up ahead and you're paddling up to them, but until you're in them, you don't know what you're looking at. The torches only sort of work so well on the river.
I guess if you think about that first time paddling the Waimak and we're going to do it in the dark, that's kind of what you're talking about, isn't it? Grade two rapids, like there's some pretty serious water in there that you want to kind of, but you're kind of playing it as you see it, sort of, but not seeing it particularly well, doing it by feel or hearing it come up. How did you guys go? Did you manage to keep your hair dry through that?
Yep, we had probably the top time equal with the Stonians on that first big paddle, which was quite cool to hear. Like, we were paddling well, and I think that sort of excitement of paddling at night probably pushed us along a bit. We had one moment there where we sort of got caught, myself and Sophie, under a bit of a tree down a wee chute. We had to drop the pedals and sort of work our way out, so that was probably a bit of a sketchy sort of moment, but that was sort of right at the end, so it was a get home and not too bad. But paddling was probably one of the highlights of the race, just being at night and in the dark, just a different sort of something you don't get back home.
And all night, like 9 or 10 hours. It's a long paddle. It's a long time to be paddling at night. Oh, God.
Yeah, most of the night. So it sort of helps a bit. If you're moving at night, you can't sort of see where you're going. So you sort of just sometimes you just turn the headlights off and, just sort of push on and use the moonlight if you can. It's quite cool, actually, paddling at night. Yep.
Yeah, good job. It feels a little bit sleepy, snoozy, though, with that, especially, as I mentioned earlier, like you had 4 hours sleep over 4 days. Was that the plan, and how did that kind of unfold?
Originally, we were sort of hoping to finish late on the fourth day, so not go through the fourth night. We were sort of planning to have three three nights out. And the original plan was to no sleep on the first night, good sleep on the second, and no sleep on the third, and sort of push through and push into that fourth day. The race, and that was sort of assuming a sort of 8 o'clock, you know, early sort of start. The race was actually started around the solar eclipse. So there was, it just happened to be at the same time we were racing, where the race was starting, the moon was coming across the sun. We didn't know about it till we got over to America, and there's people flying all over in this 100-mile stretch to see this solar eclipse. So we're sort of hanging around the start for 6-7 hours till that happened, which was about 2 o'clock. So we didn't get going till mid-afternoon. And that sort of ended up pushing us through that fourth night. But we never changed our sleep plan. We didn't think about it. So we ended up getting 4 hours on the second night, and just a couple 20-minute naps later on. But yeah, it did end up being two nights at the end without sleep, which was, well, it showed on that last night. We were pretty bad.
Pretty cooked. You were sitting in fourth. How did you get up for third and to be third equal? How did that unfold?
Yeah, we were sort of sitting fourth, third and fourth the whole race with Ben. We, coming into the second last stage, second last transition, we caught Ben. We got to transition, saw Ben at the transition before the paddle, and it sort of, we sort of assumed they were, you know, a few hours ahead. So we sort of thought we had fourth place sort of locked up. So it was quite exciting to see them, and that was the start. That second last stage was the start of a big paddle, sort of another 9-10 hour paddle through the night. So we paddled, started on the water at the same time as them. We quickly sort of fell off and were falling asleep on the river. So I think we sort of stopped for 15 minutes. We were paddling pretty poorly. Just, you know, there might be one or two paddling at a time while the others just sleeping, or it was pretty, slow going. It was cold, you know, cold and wet and tired. The one thing on that paddle, there was a portage, which we were always sort of going to do. It was a 5K portage where you could paddle, you could carry on paddling 15-17 Ks, and we weren't too keen on paddling for another 3 hours. So it sort of looked like you could save about an hour if you sort of got through the portage fairly quickly. So we didn't know it at the time. We sort of assumed all the teams would take the portage, as it looked the quicker option. So we sort of hit the portage, and it was sort of coming on light once we got back in the water, and there was probably 2 or 3 Ks back to transition. And once we sort of got on the water, we saw a team ahead of us. We sort of thought it was a short course team or someone who's been cut off, not on the full course. We thought Ben were, you know, hours ahead of us. They were paddling, you know, they were paddling well. We thought they would have hit the portage. But once we got into transition, you know, we realised it was Ben, and we were sort of sitting, you know, tied third there at that transition. And actually, Jason Magnus, who sort of team captain of Ben, and Andy Magnus's brother, who's their coach, sort of runs the Fear Society. He sort of said, "Do you want to share third, take third place?" We'd sort of been going back and forth all race, so it was quite a cool moment actually. They didn't have to. We had a time penalty, a 30-minute time penalty, and they had a 10-minute time credit. So they sort of had a 40-minute gap on us at that last, coming into the last stage, which was a 3-hour bike. So it was sort of something they didn't have to do. They could have easily gone off and probably got third, but Just sort of shows the sportsmanship of them, I guess. And it was cool to sort of biked in that last stage, and you know, chatting with them, and there's no pressure to race or beat someone to the finish line. So that was quite a cool way to end it after sort of tussling back and forth all race.
Yeah, good job. That's awesome. And I mean, we have to also remember this is day four. So the racing's been done, hasn't it? By that stage, you just kind of enjoy the finish. Throwing up this graphic for those that are listening to this, this is the toast graphic. It's a bit of a winner. Number one is pretty burnt toast through to number nine, which is only just lightly toasted. Where were you at the end of that race?
Oh, I was getting up to one and two. We're fairly well toasted there. I think we fell asleep in the tent at the end of the race for about 4 or 5 hours. Straight after. So we were looking for a sleep. Probably had a good 15-20 hours that night.
once we got back. Done my dash. Yeah, good on you. Good on you. Yeah. Trying to get even the keel back up again. What's next, Flynn? What are you up to? You're back in Australia now. What's the plan of attack going forward?
We have another overseas race in September, Expedition Oregon. So that's over in the States again. And I think I'll be going to that along with a couple others. I think it's a new sort of team this time, which will be quite cool. A couple of people I haven't raced with. So that's in September. Between now and then, I'll probably enjoy the Aussie winter, which is probably a good New Zealand summer. Back home, so there's lots of running races, trail races, so probably get into a bit of speed stuff, maybe try to do a quick half or turn some legs over on some running races, and gear back up for that adventure race in September, which will be quite cool.
Yeah, good stuff. So lots on the cards. No, absolutely awesome. So well done on a fantastic adventure. We look forward to following your progress going forward as well. And, keep up the great work and all the best for don't struggle too much in the New Zealand summer, Aussie winter that you've got coming up as well.
Thanks for that. Yeah.
That's awesome. Brilliant. Okay, enjoy your weekend. Cheers, Flynn. Thanks,
Alex. Cheers, Richard. Bye.
See ya. Bye. Just like that, Flynn Goodger, definitely pushing the boundaries and having a bunch of adventures all over the world. So, well done, Flynn. And, looking forward to following your progress, as I mentioned. So, just as I mentioned at the top of the show, we've got lots of stuff going on on this weekend. If you're out adventuring and getting amongst it, have an awesome time. Make sure you put the stopwatch on and see how many vertical meters that you get at the same time as well. And the other thing, actually, I didn't mention is we've got our Backroad 400 that were introduced. I did a little video while we're away on the sounds over the school holiday. So I might just throw that up here now. And if anyone is keen, just flick us a message. We're going to sort of close that off in the next wee bit so we can get organized as well. So here it is, the details of a Backroad 400.
Sounds, look at that, what a fantastic day. Just out scoping some gravel roads and some adventures had on the Giant Revolt here, and wanted to introduce to you our Backroad 400 that we're going to do in August this year. So if you have enjoy a bit of an adventure and want to get out and explore somewhere new, so Northland is the spot that we're going to do this. It's a Backroad 400. In the old days, we've run the Backroad 100 over the weekend, 100Ks, Backroad 200. Well, this is a Backroad 400 plus. So Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday's worth of riding. Basically, you're going to ride at your own pace. We're not going to stick together as such. There's no van, there's no support in that way, but the rules are that no one's allowed to ride by themselves. We'll catch it up with each other at the end of the day and share some tales of what's gone on. So if you interested in that, want to know more, check out the link below and I'll post that in here. But if you want to come for an adventure and enjoy riding your bike and enjoy some fantastic views, you need to get into it. So look after yourself. Hope you're having a great weekend. We'll catch up soon.
Hello, cheers team, have a great weekend, and over and out from Team CP, and look forward to hearing what you get up to with all those vertical meters. Keep us posted and have some fun while you're out there doing it. Over and out.